Hi, and welcome to JCB Radio. I'm your host, Cody Powers. With me this week is...
Josh Sawyer.
And not with us this week is...
Brandon Britt.
Brandon Thomas Britt.
Oh, yeah, Thomas.
Well, we've got some sad news regarding our third co-host. I figured we'd just go ahead and get it out of the way now.
It was an unfortunate accident.
Josh, I'll let you explain what happened.
Playing badminton. He tried to make a save. Didn't work out for him. Broke his wrist. Ended his life. The end.
So, yeah, that's all. I mean, it's a pretty sad state of affairs.
He may be back soon. You know.
You never can tell. There is... I don't know how those wrist injuries work. It could be so severe that he could come back or he could never come back. But... moving on, I guess. We're back after more than 3.5 weeks, after probably about 5 weeks, 6 weeks maybe, even longer than that. We're back. We took a break, mostly mandated by sickness and
holidays.
Terrible scheduling and holidays. First couple weeks, I was sick, Josh was sick, I was sick, Christmas, New Year's, terrible scheduling, Brandon's death. But we decided to make a show anyway. So we moved the show to a new host. We ended our thing with Podbean because they were being terrible. Switched our host to it's JCB Radio at podomatic.com. I'll put the link in the show notes with everything on with the link to the iTunes as well. Everything's the same. I redid everything, so you shouldn't have any trouble finding us. So Josh, what have you been doing over the last 6 weeks?
Well, for Christmas, I got Lord of the Rings, Lego Lord of the Rings, and I played that for a couple weeks, and then decided to upgrade to Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and have pretty much been constant playing that one since.
See, I still have not jumped on that bandwagon. I think I'm the only like person that owns an Xbox that's just decided not to play that game for some reason. My brother-in-law plays it all the time. My wife's brother plays it all the time. It's the only game he plays. It's the only game everybody plays. But I just I'm just burned out. I guess I've been burned out, and I just don't want to go back.
I played Halo, and whenever they had their downloadable content, I.
How were the new maps? They came out while we were on break as well.
I enjoyed them, but it's the same concept as the other one. They released, I think it was three maps? It wasn't very many.
Yeah.
And when they released them, you know, you like a couple, you dislike the rest of them. So even, and it's kind of a community thing, so whenever you see them and you have your choice of what levels you're going to play, everybody picks the same levels. So you play the same thing. Over and over. And it just, it does, it burns you out, and it gets a little disappointing. So that's where I,
But did they did update the, what's the weekly story mission thing? The, Spartan Ops? Did they
they updated those.
I know you suffered through all those.
I suffered through every one of the first five on, Legendary Solo. I haven't been back on to see if they've added any extras on there, because for about 2 weeks, I know that I played and I didn't see anything there. And
if that's all you've got, I'll jump into what I've been doing.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Vita. Oddworld Stranger's Wrath. I've been playing that. It's a game I kind of missed on Xbox. It came out like right at the end.
Yeah.
So there was no multiplayer, nothing like that. So it's just kind of a single player, but it's a first-person shooter mixed with platformer, mixed with adventure game. I've been playing a lot of that. I've also been playing BioShock 2, the Minerva's Chronicles, Minerva's Den DLC. PlayStation Plus gave it away for free, I guess, just to kind of get people hyped about Infinite. And I've never played Minerva's Den, and it is very, very good. Probably some of the best DLC that I've ever played.
The last time we talked about the BioShock, you had said that they had pushed back the release date. Have they announced
March
when
26th.
They're going to...
Okay. So they pushed it back a month, which is, I guess, could be worse. And I think it's probably just to get enough shipments, to get enough of the product itself. But playing that, I've been playing mostly stuff that PlayStation Plus has been giving away. they to commemorate Mega Man's 25th anniversary, which we'll talk a little bit more about later. I tried to play Mega Man 9 and 10. They gave away those for free. They gave away the new NBA Jam, the On Fire edition or whatever, and it's the same. It's the exact. It's fun. Played a little more PlayStation All Stars. I'm kind of disappointed. I've reached a tipping point with that game that I can't. I've beat with the characters I care about. I've beat the story. I just jump on, play. There's two new DLC characters coming out. I think at the beginning of February, Cat from Gravity Rush and the guy from Starhawk. I can't even think of his name. I played those. I played the Uncharted Golden Abyss. I'm playing back through that on the hardest difficulty. It's not working out well for me. Just because the stupid Vita features, hold your to your light and turn the to get the picture to line up the map and crap like that. Stupid.
Yeah.
I've been playing that mostly, but I've been trying to kind of consolidate what I'm thinking about doing here with my Vita, my Xbox, my PS3. I'm trying to, because you know the new consoles are coming at the end of this year, so I'm trying not to invest in a lot of DLC, you know, a lot of, I guess, Xbox Arcade, PSN games, just because. Are they going to transfer? Are we not going to be able to transfer?
That was my biggest question from the get-go.
Because I download most of the games. I don't go to GameStop. I just download them digitally because I'm just lazy and I don't want to go to GameStop. Yeah. And I don't like having cases and I don't like all that. So if there's something I want, like a demo or whatever, I just download it and play it that way.
They have to be able to kind of cater to those type of people. I mean,
Nintendo didn't.
Yeah, well, that's Nintendo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, PlayStation lives by their online network. I mean, it's the same thing for Xbox. If they don't have online, I mean, you don't really.
I just worry that if I buy Borderlands or whatever through PSN, am I going to be able to just download it for my new console, or is it going to be a pain? Like I don't know. Just with the new consoles, I know storage is probably going to. You're not going to have like a 20 gig hard drive or 100. It's probably going to be minimum 500 gigs on each system, I would imagine.
See, that's what I was thinking. They have to have a minimalistic gigabyte storage just for the people that can't afford, you know, 500, 800, whatever.
But, I mean,
whatever.
How expensive is memory? Do you remember, like, I mean, a couple years ago, like, you get an 8-gig card, that was going to set you back $100, and now you can get 8-gig cards for $20 or something. It can't be that expensive.
It can't be, but then again, everything else incorporated in it, I mean, they can make it more expensive, as much as they really want.
I'm sure they'll make it as expensive as they want. Yeah.
How much can you really change for memory? I mean, besides making it larger. I mean,
my thing is for somebody like you that doesn't download a lot of games, 120 gigs is plenty.
Yeah.
My Xbox is full almost. My PS3 is only an 80 gig, so it's full.
Yeah.
And I constantly have to, with PlayStation Plus especially, delete. You know, but
yeah.
I can always re-download if I need to, which is not that big of a deal, but. There's been a lot of games I've been holding off buying, just kind of waiting to see
how this works.
Do I want to get this digitally? Because Nintendo today announced their plan for the digital downloads. Any game you downloaded on the Wii, so say you downloaded Metroid Prime or Super Metroid, right?
Yeah.
You can re-download that game on the Wii U for $1. They're going to charge you $1 to re-download a game that you've already paid for.
Yes.
Wow. So I guess we'll kind of transition into the news, because that's all I've been doing, really. I haven't had a lot of time. I've been reading books. I read Agenda 21. My wife got it for me for Christmas, the Glenn Beck book. I'm not even going to talk about Lincoln, because we argued about that yesterday, because you still have not read the book I gave you.
I do not read.
Six episodes in.
No,
still
I,
no.
I
nothing.
Cannot read. I don't read.
I'm just going to send you the audiobook. I'm going to find it.
There you go. We'll find the audio one, and we will download it, and I will listen to it on my way to work.
The news starting off, of course, we talked a little bit about Bioshock Infinite being delayed till the 26th. I'm fine with that. Metal Gear Rising coming out next month. I didn't really need two games I know I'm going to play. Next month it's fine being in March. Marvel Lego Super Heroes was announced, and I know that gets one of us at least excited about it.
I enjoy the Lego games.
You're 5 years old. It's fine.
They're entertaining to me. I mean, and it keeps me busy for, you know, 2 weeks at least.
I just don't see, like, the tipping point I assumed would have been, like, when they did the, you know, so you've got Lego Star Wars. What was there? Four of those.
Was there four?
Yeah, there was the Lego Star Wars 1 and 2. Then there was the original trilogy. And then the complete saga, I think.
Clone Saga.
The Clone. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was the Clone. The Clone Saga. Yeah. So there's four of those. Two Lego Indiana Jones, and then you've got Lego Batman. So that's probably just lost our show. So that was six, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
both Harry Potters.
Both Lego Harry Potters.
Lord of the Rings.
Lego Lord of the Rings.
Was just released.
And then Lego Batman 2. So you've got 10 games at least.
I've got two of them completed.
That's funny. The going on to the a little bit sadder news, I guess, for not necessarily for us, but for people that actually work in the games industry. THQ's bankruptcy auction went today. And some big titles went to some developers and some studios, disappointingly, just kind of closed. THQ, they've been having money issues for, God, a year now. And it's all starting from making that stupid UDraw tablet. They, you know, just bad decision after bad decision sinks a decent company. But Sega purchased Relic, which makes Company of Heroes, Dawn of War, from them. Koch Media, which made Dead Island, they purchased probably the biggest thing that THQ had, which was Saints Row. They purchased Saints Row and Volition, so you're still going to get the same. You're going to get Saints Row 4 as it was intended, not by another team, by the original studio.
Yeah.
And they purchased Metro, which the Metro game's got to be done. It ships next month, so that's probably just an easy cash grab for them. The one I'm super excited about, the next two I'm really excited about, Crytek. People that make Crysis, they were working on, rumored to be working on Homefront 2 anyway, but they purchased Homefront outright. It's their thing, it's their studio, it's their own IP now, so that'll be the way they do Crysis 3. That I couldn't imagine that Homefront 2 with actual good developer behind it. Because the first Homefront was really cool, it just lasted 3 hours. And
yeah, and then it was it.
That was it, yeah. Take-Two bought Darksiders. No word on if they bought Vigil, the studio. They just bought the Darksiders license. 2K Sports, which is part of Take-Two, bought the WWE license, which doesn't excite a lot of people. But I think if there's one company that could actually make those games fun, it would be 2K Sports. Like, the basketball games that 2K makes are fantastic. Baseball are terrible, so they can't make a baseball game. But they can make the best basketball game, and I still think they made the best football game back in the day. And Ubisoft bought South Park: The Stick of Truth, which I didn't really care about South Park. I know that game's people are excited about the South Park RPG, but I'm just not.
I enjoy South Park. I might, you know, play the demo or something.
I mean, we did when I was 13.
Yeah. Whenever we were kids, we loved it. I mean, you know. So every now and then I go to Netflix and I find it and watch a couple episodes and giggle.
Yeah, to me it's just one of those things where it just kind of grew out of it. It's like The Simpsons. Like if I see The Simpsons on, I'll be like, oh, okay, this still exists, but I'm not gonna, you know, set my DVR
be overly
every
excited.
Sunday. Yeah,
say,
I mean,
yeah.
And I love The Simpsons, but Jesus, at some point just end. So we'll switch into topic of the week. Basically, we were going to do this a couple weeks ago, kind of talk about our Game of the Years. I had just a couple that I had chosen, and I know Josh will talk about his. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I can go ahead.
Okay.
Really, I mean, I kind of had it narrowed down to two or three games. I mean, Skyrim was a huge game whenever it was released. The only thing that was kind of downfall was, you know, the online play. You didn't have much, and you had to wait a pretty good while for downloadable content.
And if you're on PS3, you actually finally get it December 5th. I'm so excited. Finally, I'll actually have a reason to play that game again and not just be completely disappointed that they've abandoned me.
But after that, it kind of moved off to shooters, which Halo 4 and Call of Duty Black Ops, you know. I mean, those were the two top-selling games of this past year. You know, both of them were competing. Both of them were released, you know, a couple weeks apart, right before the holiday season. I mean, and they're both fantastic games. I can't say that there's a bad thing about either one of them, besides the fact that, you know, you play them so much. I mean, you can burn yourself out on them. I mean, but you have the loyal people that do play these games, and I mean, they play them for hours and hours and days and days.
I have, or do you got anything else? Are you solid? I didn't want to interrupt you.
Sorry. Yeah, it's cool.
We're rusty at this podcasting thing. It's been a minute. Basically, my in no particular, well, I guess they are in kind of an order. I did five or four. My top four, because I couldn't think of a really good fifth one. First of all, I have The Walking Dead, which I know, you know, if you didn't play, you're missing out. That series, the downloadable episodes, are fantastic. It's probably probably my favorite game of the year. That I enjoyed, that I just enjoyed from start to finish. I was shocked by the ending. It was just completely, you know, what I needed at $5 an episode. It's great.
I played the demo, and I mean, I guess it's just one thing. I just couldn't really get into it.
Yeah,
the
adventure game part of it, it is more the game part of that game is not fun, but yeah. the story carries that game.
That may have just been what it was
which
the demo only had such a limited story.
Yeah, which
so
is why I kind of put that one in my fourth slot. And then I had Halo 4, which I loved. To me, it was the thing that got me back into Halo. I still play it every now and then. It's still one of my games that's, if I ever turn on my Xbox, that's the one that I play. You know, we beat Halo to death about how great it is. Kind of a one when I sat down and thought about it, about games that I had the most fun with this year, was Uncharted on the Vita. For the five people that actually have Vitas and played that game, it's great. It's not as good as Uncharted 3. It's probably closer to Uncharted 1. But the things they tried to do, cramming an HD actual Uncharted into that system is fantastic. I can't say enough about it. If it had multiplayer, I'd still be playing it online. I'd still be doing that stuff. That's one of my favorite parts about Uncharted is the multiplayer. Hopefully the, you know, Sony Bend will actually get on that and make one with multiplayer. Third, I have my final game of the year was probably Mass Effect 3, and I had to sit and think about that one for a while because I absolutely hated the ending.
See,
I loved that game so much until I got to the end of it, and I absolutely just the ending. I remember beating it. I'd stayed up late one night, beat the game, and then literally finished the ending, and then had to look up online to figure out what my ending meant. And that's not how a game is supposed to end, you know.
Yeah.
You do these three. You've played Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. Characters carried the entire way. You've made all these decisions, and then at the end, you have three choices. That's it. Three choices. No matter if you've saved the Turians, if you killed the Turians, you have good, medium, or bad. That's it. There's the only three choices. And I know they came back and fixed that. They added an extended ending, but I've never downloaded it. I never went back and downloaded that because that was the... I just if that's the ending you want me to have, that's what I'm going to have. I'm not going to go and, you know, after people rioted and then you had to fix the ending.
Yeah.
That was the game to me, though, that I really enjoyed. The multiplayer was fun. It was unexpectedly good, too. I figured it was going to be awful, but it just wasn't. It was actually really good.
Most adventure shooters have horrible multiplayer.
Yes. And I just didn't think it was going to be good, like, at all. But it was fun. And I think some of the DLC, I need to go back and play. When I pulled up the list of all the games that had came out this year, there was a bunch of good ones, but coming up with a couple that I really just had a good time with was a little tough.
I really enjoyed Borderlands. That was one.
Yes. See, Borderlands was close. Like, it was, I was thinking if I was going to do, I was going to do five and I was going to do Borderlands, but then yeah. I just was like, you know what, I'm just going to do four.
See,
top four that I'm really sold on. This is the four that I want. This is the ones that are important that I thought were the best games of the year.
See, I never played Borderlands 1, and whenever Borderlands 2 came out, I only played a limited amount of it. So, I mean, I couldn't give that a spot, but I mean, from what I played of it, I mean, it was an amazing game. I really, really enjoyed it.
Speaking of things that everybody seemed to enjoy, the PlayStation 2 finally was discontinued January 7th of this year. I know, Josh, he sounded like he was laughing, but he was, you know, trying to rush out and buy the last PlayStation 2. To date, there has been 153.19 million PS2s sold.
That's an astonishing amount.
Yes, and the fact is that we're still playing PS2s. Like,
I mean, yeah, you can still go to GameStop and they still sell.
They sold 500,000 last year. 500,000 PlayStation 2s. 500,000. Who is buying a PlayStation 2?
I don't know.
But you're right. They still sell the used games at GameStop. I'm sure they're still selling well, or they wouldn't even have them there.
You could imagine that there's some guy that's just like us. He's played all the games he wants to play on the PS3 or the Xbox 360, and he's like, hey, I'm going to spend the $50 to go out and buy this PlayStation 2 and get a couple games that I loved playing whenever I was young.
That's the only thing I can think of. Either that or like you're just like, I really need a cheap DVD player.
But, I mean, also, 500,000 people doing that.
Yeah, I mean that's a lot. My thought was it's a lot of, I want a PlayStation, and then a grandma goes to Walmart or, you know.
Not knowing which one.
This one's $70. And just,
this one's $70 and this one's $200.
Yeah, you're getting the $70.
$70.
The best-selling game of that generation on PlayStation 2. PlayStation 2's best-selling game was Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I was thinking back when we were talking about this, just kind of talking about our favorite stuff about the PS2. Metal Gear Solid 3, the whole Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, the whole thing. I remember when I first got my PS2, I bought it from the pawn shop in town.
Yeah.
And it didn't come with any games, and I was really disappointed. And I got home, hooked it up, and turned it on. And I was getting ready to, I went and rented some games, so I was getting ready to turn it on, and Metal Gear Solid 2 popped up. I'd never played a Metal Gear game, never played Metal Gear Solid 1. I was like, ejected the tray. They left a game in there. I guess they were testing it before.
Yeah.
Left the game in there. So I ran with it. I was happy. That was the first game I ever played on PS2, front to start to finish. And it was just fantastic. And, you know, the PlayStation 2 had so many good games. Kingdom Hearts, you know.
Phenomenal.
Even Final Fantasy X was really good.
Oh my gosh, I loved. I loved the Final Fantasy series.
12. I never. Or not, was it? Yeah, it was 12. 12. I didn't really like as much.
Yeah,
as 10.
The newer ones I haven't. But as for
10's where Final Fantasy stopped being.
Yeah, all the way up on the PlayStation 2, up to 10, and then they made 10-2 and online, and those were just
Devil
not
May Cry,
my cup
God
of tea.
Of War. I mean, there was just.
I love Devil May Cry. I remember playing that one start to finish, all the way through.
I mean, like I said, the new Devil May Cry came out this week, and I haven't had a chance to even look at it, but it looks really good. Like, thinking about it, like, I mean, Sony's going for this 10-year life cycle. The PS3 came out in 2006, so you're thinking 2016?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like we've had systems like this since the Xbox in 05, PS3 in 06. Like, 10-year life cycles for these consoles aren't that far off. It's 2013. That's 2 years. You know,
yep.
For the Xbox. I think Microsoft will do smart, though. They'll just drop it like they did the original Xbox. No support, but Sony will still support it. MLB The Show came out last year on the PS2. It was the last Sony release was MLB The Show. Why anybody would release MLB The Show on PS2? But it sold 150,000, 200,000 copies.
I guess that's the reason right there.
I don't know
why.
Because it can't cost
it.
Them anything to make. It can't cost them anything at all. So that's probably why they did it. They're still turning them out. But something else that I kind of forgot to write down, I figured we would talk about, would be the, like, when we were talking about the new consoles, I mean, you kind of mentioned it earlier. We'll switch into that, and that'll kind of be our last little topic of the week here. We've got the rumors now, PS4, you know, Xbox 720, whatever the hell they're going to call it.
Sony has
announced. I just think they're going to call it the new Xbox. I think they're going to be Apple and do the new Xbox, and Sony will do PS4 just because it sounds, well, do I want an Xbox or a PS4? 4 sounds better. I want, you know what I'm saying?
It just kind of goes in a step. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't really understand why they jumped from Xbox to 360. I mean, a complete turnaround, and it's the same thing
again.
Well,
because you don't want an Xbox 2 up against the PS3.
Yeah, true.
You know, so we've already seen what Nintendo's offered. Microsoft, I would imagine, would probably announce a couple weeks before E3, I'd guess April. I would imagine Xbox is going to go first. I think Sony will let them go first, and then Sony will try to counter with whatever they're doing.
Well, yeah.
But talking about it yesterday, I don't know what else we're looking for. Obviously, graphics are going to be more important. I think they're going to I think gaming is not going to be the focus. I think it's going to be more about, like, in your room, in your living room, you know, Skype, we'll have Kinect, we'll have all this stuff. It'll be basically your TiVo, it'll be your DVR, it'll be everything that you need all in one.
Microsoft has just purchased a company not too long ago that creates a central living device. It controls the heat in your house. It controls the locks on your doors. It controls the lights in your house. I mean, it controls everything in your house. So I believe what Microsoft is wanting to do is essentially make this game console into a central unit that controls your house.
Yeah, or like you have your, instead of having Dish, you'll go through, you know, your Dish now will go through your Xbox.
Yes.
Or Comcast or whoever you have will all go through that. That's what I'm thinking is happening.
When they incorporate everything in it, I mean, you have the Xbox Glass. You could essentially be able to control your house or your internet or everything just from your phone. You would be able to control, you know, from a tablet, from a PC. I mean, you could be miles and miles away and be able to control your house from your Xbox, from the connection between Microsoft on your Xbox.
And what's neat about it to me is you know, just thinking about where we were 2005. I mean, we just the implemental changes they've made to Xbox Live and PSN is going to be. I think that's going to be the focus. Sony, I have no idea what they're going to do. I have no idea.
I
think it'll be more of the same. I think they'll do something similar, but they've got to fix some of the issues that PlayStation Network has.
Sony is a great company, but they've fallen really far behind in the online network area.
You can't party chat. There's still stupid stuff that you can't do. It makes no sense why you can't party chat on PlayStation 3. And it literally is because they didn't design it, because they didn't think about it. So there's no way to even go back and you can voice chat, you can party chat on the Vita, but you can't on a PS3.
Yeah.
So I think Sony, to me, I think they're going to be more about, whereas Xbox is, we're your living room, this is everything you want to be. My hope for Sony would be that you just come out and go, look, we're about games. This is what we do. This is the games that we have. Sure, you can watch Netflix on us, whatever. This is the reason you want a PS3. Here's Uncharted, here's Killzone, here's this. You know, versus a 20-minute presentation from Xbox about how your Kinect can, you know,
you can wave your hands and flip the lights on and off.
God, yeah. And so I'm hoping that Sony does the smart thing and actually uses their brain this time, doesn't price themselves out. I'm imagining if a console comes out at $400, that's the sweet spot. That's where they need to come out at, not $500, not $600 like it was last time for Sony. I mean, we have people doing it. You laugh, but we have people coming in dropping $600.
I know.
Of course,
but I mean,
flipping them on eBay.
I still believe that will be the ongoing price for a brand new system. I mean, with all the technology that they're going to put into it, I mean, you can't imagine that they would go any cheaper than the system that they came out with 7 years ago.
It would be hard for me to think that you're cranking out this much for only $450 or only. I mean, I'm hoping.
Yeah, you would hope that that's what would happen. But
just,
I mean,
take a loss on the system and make it up with the games. That's because if you price yourself out from the gate, even if Microsoft comes out and says it's $600, I mean, sure, that puts me out of the market. I'm not gonna spend $600 on a console. I didn't on the PS3. I waited until it dropped down.
Yeah,
I got the Xboxes for $400, but I'm not gonna go out and spend $600. But we'll kind of transition away from that now into the tech part of the show. The show's going to be a little shorter just because we don't have, because of Brandon's death. But hopefully his death will be recuperated after he fixes his hand or whatever it is that's happened to him. We'll kind of switch to the tech front. Best Buy is now carrying the Surface, and I actually played with one, and it is freaking sweet. It makes me want to get rid of the laptop. Just that flip-out keyboard, the tactile keyboard that actually snaps, it works. It's not crappy.
Yeah.
It doesn't flip or fold. The mouse pad on it works. The only crappy thing is they announced the Surface Pro, which comes out February 9th, which is $900.
Fantastic.
That one's going to have the actual... That one's going to have enough... Like, it's going to be like a spec laptop spec, not tablet spec. So it's going to be, you know, no disk drive, but you still be able to run... You should be able to run, you know, games off PC games off
PC
the
games
Pro.
And PC applications,
versus just having to wait on Windows 8 to get apps, which is not working out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Windows 8, I finally got a new phone, and I'm so excited about it. I finally got the Lumia 822 for Verizon. I got it today, actually, a couple hours before the show, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to play with it. But the Windows 8 software runs a lot smoother than the Windows 7.5. The apps just seem to work. The only thing is, you're still the same thing. The Android has more apps. So does Apple. But comparing this to a phone that just works, that doesn't force close, that doesn't do any of the annoying things that an Android or iPhone does, it just works, and I'm really happy with it. 8-megapixel camera. I took some pictures earlier just to test it out and kind of see how it worked. It works great. Camera's great. The internet browser uses IE10, so a lot of the websites still look a little weird. Like they haven't done it fully for it yet, but this is the first phone that comes with NFL Mobile on Verizon for Windows phones. So if you had the Trophy or you have the 8X, you can download it, but you have to go and search it. This one comes preloaded. There wasn't a lot of bootware, like you know how when you get a new phone they have the games and all that crap.
Yeah,
I just uninstalled every single thing that was on there. Like they had Univision, they had you know all kinds of Nokia apps. I uninstalled all those and got all that stuff off. It takes an SD card, which is the only phone that does. So it's got to drop my 32 gig card in there. It's 16 gigs of memory already in the phone, so I should be set.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad price. It was only $50, but you know I saved a little with my discount, so I didn't pay anything for it. CES happened while we were off air as well. Samsung displayed their new screens, which I think they're going to incorporate into phones, into tablets, into a lot more. And Josh will talk a little bit about that because he actually paid attention to CES.
They're indestructible, essentially. I mean, they're bendable and foldable phones. They are you can literally fold them in half, unfold them, and use them just like a phone. I mean, I think it's going to kind of cut down the market for the
Geek Squad protection plans,
the insurance plans, the OtterBoxes, all these screen protectors. I mean, things of that nature. I mean, you know, essentially, you know, if you can bend your screen in half, I mean, there would be no need to be able to...
Absolutely no need to buy a shatter-resistant screen protector or, you know, an OtterBox.
Or, you know, anything that's going to stop it from, you know... Because, I mean... it may be a little more pricey. The technology, I mean, obviously it'll be a little more pricey.
Speaking of CES, Lego. We were talking about Legos earlier. They announced they had a set. You know, fans could vote at CES for the new ones Legos would display at CES.
Yeah.
They displayed Back to the Future Legos and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Legos.
That's awesome.
So that'll probably be your next Lego game. Now, I'll play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Lego.
Yeah, dude.
I won't play Lord of the Rings. I won't play any of that crap, but Ninja Turtles gets me excited a little bit about it.
You're missing out.
They also talked about their 4K TVs, which I think is going to be like 3D TVs. I think they'll be priced out of the market for at least a couple years. You'll see a couple of people adopt them and get them, but it'll be, you know, there was hardly any mention of 3D this year at CES. Hardly any mention of it at all. I think it's going to be one of those things that just kind of fades away.
I don't see the market capability for it. They announced it, and the first 4K TV that it was even been announced is going to cost $300,000. I mean, that's four Cadillac Escalades.
And even then, the TVs now. I mean, you're the refresh rate on all the cable box, the technology is way ahead of what it is. Because if you buy a Blu-ray player, or say you want to watch a movie on it, there's no movies that support it. There's the cable companies can't support it yet. I mean, it's like 3D. There's still no but if you go have Dish Network and you want to use your 3D TV, there's two channels, ESPN and ESPN. That's it. There's no option for 3D. There's no nothing. I think that the 4K TVs, maybe 10 to 15 years down the road, where they're reasonably priced, they're okay to get. I think the thing now with TVs are people are wanting bigger TVs. They came out with a 90-inch TV. It is $9,000 at work. I looked it up the other day. It was pretty impressive. Just to see a 90-inch TV. I mean, that's literally an entire
wall
in your house.
Dude.
But people are buying them. They're making them. We're selling them. So it's one of those things that. You know, I could never ever, just even if I had the money to piss away on it, like, how far back would you have to be from your...
To be able to see it, to be able to intake the whole thing.
We're about 10 feet, what do you say, 10 feet away from that wall right now? Like, I couldn't imagine. I mean, you'd be literally like...
You'd stare at one corner and miss everything that's going on down there.
When you're sitting at the front row at a movie theater, when you're watching a movie, that's exactly what the experience you would have on a 90-inch TV, unless you're in a giant house. That's the only thing to do. And even most walls are only 10 feet 12 feet tall?
Yeah.
Like in just a normal house, you're looking at 12 foot. So 90 inches diagonally, there's, 12 feet in an inch, or, 12 inches in a foot. Hell, that's almost, you don't have a lot of extra room.
Yeah.
Like, it and I think with those things, that's going to be the big thing. But, I mean, I have a 55-inch TV in my living room. I don't think I could imagine going much bigger than that TV. But the prices are dropping on a lot of the TVs now. You can get a decent, like, 32-inch for, like, $300. the gong show in the back, if you heard that, was my son trying to join the show and make as much noise as possible so it could be heard on air. The last thing we're going to kind of talk about is Firefox made their own OS. They displayed it at CES, and I could care less. It looks terrible. They're not going to have any phones that support. I mean, BlackBerry 10 and Microsoft are barely hanging on.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out with.
They're not going to try to sacrifice that to be able to bring another OS.
No, it'll be like the OS may be cool, but you're not going to find hardware manufacturers that want to jump into this new OS.
And I doubt Mozilla has the power to be able to bring out their own phone be able to compete in the first place.
I couldn't imagine them actually wanting to invest in that. I mean, because look at HP. WebOS almost bankrupted HP. They bought Palm. The last time you heard of a Palm phone, like they came out with the Palm Pre, it bombed. They came out with the Palm. It was a tiny little phone, and I can't think of the name of it. As soon as we get off the air, I'll remember it. It was a tiny little white phone. It was on AT&T. Literally, it was probably
three inch screen.
Yeah, and they came out with that, and it flopped. And then HP was like, you know what? We'll make the touchpad kind of our iPad alternative. It worked well, but the market was not there to support the WebOS, so it was done. I mean, those tablets went from $600, and we were selling them for $100 when they finally just trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't imagine that developers, manufacturers are going to jump onto another OS. BlackBerry 10 is interesting, though.
I haven't seen much on it.
It's pretty cool. Like, it looks like to me, I mean, they're finally catching up, but my problem is that it's the same thing with Microsoft, with Windows 8. When they announced Windows 8 for the phones, they're thinking, these are the apps we're going to bring you, these are the apps, but they're apps like Temple Run. Well, great. Well, Temple Run 2 is out on iPhone right now. Like, you're going to be behind by the time you release the top 100 apps that everybody wants on your platform.
Yeah.
The new people aren't going to want those apps anymore. They're going to want something else.
Yeah. And I mean, apps come in and out. They
bragged about Words with Friends. Nobody plays Words with Friends anymore.
Yeah, no. It was a fad for about 3 months. Yeah. And then now everybody's moved on to something else.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, Ruzzle or, yeah, I was going to say Ruzzle or Wordament. It just, depending on. But BlackBerry 10, like, you gotta feel really terrible for BlackBerry. Like, the first one, like, everybody wanted a BlackBerry. Like, if you had a BlackBerry, like, that was it.
You were
like the first smartphone
the Blackjack.
I ever. Yeah, the black. Like, yeah, cause the first phone I ever got was a BlackBerry and smartphone, and like I could check my email. I had the little trackball. I could play Brick
so
Breaker.
Fancy.
Yeah, I was all about it. And then it just kind of, they just kept making the same phone. It was like
the
9990.
Exact same one.
It looks just like the 9980. What's the difference? We moved the track. We got rid of the trackball and we have a trackpad now. Sign me up. And they never did anything. They were late to the market when the apps started coming out. They did BlackBerry App World, but there's literally no Angry Birds, no apps that anybody wants on there. I mean, you have your basic ones like CNN and all that crap, like your apps that are literally on everything, but there's no market for it. So their attempt now is to make a full touch screen, have the quads like Samsung, like an Android phone is exactly what it looks like, just a little sharper, and they're like Pages is what they're called, so you can actually put multiple apps on multiple pages. So like say you have a work page, you have a social page or whatever you want to call it. You have different, you can convert it differently. So if you want, your secure files will be secured, when you're on your work page, switch to the other one, you'll have more, freedom. And that's BlackBerry's thing now, is we're still the most secure, but Samsung's been running commercials like, we have our own security now on these phones. They're safe for work. The Galaxy S3 and the Note, especially the only two that I know run that software right now. But BlackBerry is supposed to announce their BlackBerry 10. I think it's the end of this month. I think it's like the 28th, I think. The 30th, maybe. It's around the... Probably by the next time we do a show, we'll have more info on BlackBerry 10. But I wouldn't hold your breath.
It's almost like it's too little too late. I mean, there's already so much out there.
Yeah, but for their sake, you have to take a shot. But I don't think...
You're not going to take a big chunk out of the market. I mean, just so much to the other phones that...
Because if you think about it, like we were talking about the PS3 and the 360, people are invested in ecosystems now. Like, it's the same reason, like, when I had my iPad, I had an iPhone. Because everything I had bought was there. Why would I walk away? Why would I literally be throwing away a couple hundred bucks that I've spent? Same way with your Android. If you start buying apps, once you start buying apps, once you start doing that, what's the benefit of going to an iPhone?
Oh, I'm going to go to an iPhone now where I have to repurchase all these and everything all over again.
And that's the same. That's kind of where I'm at with my Xbox and everything. Like, do I want to? I'm investing in these ecosystems with Microsoft and Sony. Do I want to, you know, spend a bunch of money on PSN? And then when the Xbox comes out, I'm not going to have a PS4 for a long time, you know, or vice versa. So I think that's kind of where it's going to be interesting as to how those ecosystems transfer over from keeping everything the same, keeping, you know, if I can keep all my achievements, which if they take my achievements from me,
I'm going to be very,
there
very
will be hell
angry.
To pay.
I completed Lego Harry Potter 1 and 2.
Yeah. Fable 3 was not fun, getting all those stupid flowers and books and all that crap. But we'll kind of wrap up here. Show's a little shorter, like I said, missing Brandon and just being a little rusty and not really having a whole lot to talk about because everybody took Christmas off too, not just us. There's no games news, no nothing really big happening. Next time we'll be back in full force, though. Brandon should be back with us. We should have a lot more to talk about. We'll have some new games coming out, Metal Gear Rising, a couple other ones are coming out early February, so we should have a little more previews and things to talk about that way. I'll post the show tonight on iTunes, so we should be up in iTunes. Like us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. The link to the new website will be in the iTunes link. It's jcbradio.podomatic.com. That'll be our new hosting site, new everything for the time being until we eventually just decide to make our own website. Josh, you got anything else?
I'm good.
Give us 5 stars. This is JCB Radio, and we are out.